back to the kings and queens and everything in betweens. So another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast. I am your host, Charlotte Warren. It is a beautiful Tuesday in Austin, Texas. To my right, I have everyone's favorite person in the entire world. Say what's up.
Hi. My name's Annabelle, and I'm the sisterly co-host.
Yes, and you are so freaking good at that.
Thank you.
You're also a great regular host. No, you're also a great regular host. We teased this on our last episode that we did together, but we have new updates. We've obviously recorded some of it.
But I'm starting a podcast right now. It's called The Art of Hating. The basis of it really is that I personally believe that like art exists to be criticized. It exists to be loved, hated, and everything in between. And I mean, ultimately, like kind of the underlying goal is art history and education. Basically, it's me explaining to Charlotte, who is sort of like the layperson.
Yes, she I take herself, on the role of the village idiot.
She calls herself the village idiot. She's not the village idiot. She just doesn't know anything about art history. Yep. Self-proclaimed. I'm sure you do. You have, you know,
I surprisingly do. Like, yeah, I know what you learn in school, but yeah.
Like, for example, we did an episode on Van Gogh. Charlotte knew pretty much like, oh, Van Gogh cut off his ear, yep. Right? And that's, and died in obscurity.
Yes.
And those are like two facts, but they go so much deeper and there's so much more information about that. And I believe when you another like core belief involved in this is that I just believe that you can't separate the art from the artist, and you shouldn't. That doesn't mean you shouldn't take into account like things that they've done that were malicious. Definitely, like, you should understand the full history of someone. And I think it really adds to the story of their work. And so I think, honestly, like, when you understand Van Gogh's life, by the way, he's my absolute favorite. I'm obsessed with Van Gogh. When you understand his life and you kind of like see his art through that lens, you feel completely differently about it. And I think this is something that's just like, honestly, important for life generally. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think just every time people hear art history, you think of, I've said this before. Mm-hmm. You think of Charlotte from Sex and the City, whose parents had enough money to send her to the most expensive college, and she had enough, you know, generational wealth to work whatever job she wanted. And that's what I think of when you think art history. It's so it's like this, it seems like this, the barrier to entry is very high.
Uh-huh.
And I think we're making it fun for the peasant, like, just, you know, me, my village idiot. Yes. Like all the questions that you would probably feel like an idiot to ask if you went to the Getty Museum.
Right. Yeah. But that's the thing. That's kind of my goal here, is so that you can go to any museum and you can be the most annoying bitch in there because all you want to do is talk about the art and the artist. That's me. When I go to a museum with someone, I'm like, girl, I'm so sorry. I'm about to be the worst.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna talk about everything.
Quick question, though.
Freak out.
Since we are a dating podcast, what are your thoughts on a museum date as a first date? Yay or nay?
I love it. I really love it. I mean, museums are generally kind of quiet places.
Uh-huh.
For me, it would be a terrible idea because I'm gonna scare a man off. Like, I'm gonna
Or you could really win him over.
Yeah, by being a know-it-all, I guess. I think it would be really cool to do a museum date and then, like, go and get a drink. Mm-hmm. And
wait, drinks first or museum first?
Mushrooms first. Museum. Dude, have you ever done that?
No. No.
No, me either.
I have definitely had a drink or two and walked into an art exhibit, and it's nice. Like,
smoke weed before a museum?
I've been told. Oh my gosh, remember there was a museum we went to downtown, and it was like, it looked like it was something interactive, and we touched it, and there was a woman hiding behind a curtain, and she was like,
Blanton?
Don't touch it.
I'm trying to figure out.
No, it was the modern art, the one that's on Congress.
Yes.
And she was like hiding behind a curtain, and she was like, don't touch that. It was like a little, like, so, maybe she was part of the exhibit.
And
I don't
know.
That
was like the weirdest, like, contemporary, like, kind of installation. It was almost, yeah, I think she was like part of the exhibit. It was a little bit of performance art, which, I'm gonna get into that on this podcast because I have opinions about it.
Yeah.
Art installations and performance art. Oh my fucking God. Don't even get me started.
But I love it.
Get me started on that podcast. But that's not what we're here for today.
No, so. We're here to talk about dating and relationships, mm-hmm. as we always do. Yeah, like, I guess we'll kick off with a quick hit question.
Let's go.
Yeah, okay. So, Hinge is one of the most, popular dating apps, Match Groups, the parent company. We all know Hinge. So this question's about Hinge, and they say, what are your thoughts on people who say they feel personally victimized by their Hinge Most Compatible? And for anyone who needs a refresher, the Hinge Most Compatible feature is a feature on Hinge. Like, you open your app, it has that purple bar on top. It says this is your most compatible for the day. It's an algorithm that suggests a daily match it thinks you'd be most interested in based on your profile and preferences, as well as the preferences of other users. Users are paired, so your most compatible will also have you as their most compatible. You have one person a day. It's done on a daily basis, lasts 24 hours. And the Hinge founder also denies this is based on an attractiveness score and says it's based on taste, aka the types of people you like or who like you back. I feel like that's kind of a non-answer because...
Right.
You get what I'm saying there. A rundown of it. And as far as this, people who feel personally victimized, it's very much like a meme, viral TikTok-y type trend that pops up every now and then. You see someone doing a little video with the text overlay. I feel so victimized by my Hinge Most Compatible, that sort of thing. People just saying, behaving in a way that implies they're offended by Hinge's algorithm calling them compatible with this type of person. Sometimes people like are just meaning they think their most compatible is beneath them. Other times people say it's like it's just drastically different. Like, what do you mean? Like, I want to date a liberal. Why is this guy who has a MAGA hashtag why is that my most compatible? So it kind of varies, but I guess I would love to know your take on people who say they feel most personally victimized by this. Can you be personally victimized by most compatible?
I'm typically a boomer about AI. Yeah. I hate like AI algorithm. I hate all that stuff. However, I think an algorithm like this is pretty functional.
Honestly, so my take is the opposite. So really? I think just like how Hinge has like the standout or whatever, where it's like you have to use the rose to message them. I think that's a gimmick to make money because like so many times you have them in
it's a hottie, it's a baddie, it's just a random baddie from
the next day they're in your regular queue, or the next week. It's like they kind of like wheel their way around. And so I remember when I would be on Hinge, I was like, I would never want to use the like most or the standouts because you have to use the rose. Like, I had a weird experience sending someone a rose once where it was just like, I think I've shared that story on here where I said they just said something like very rude right off the bat. And I think it was just that they thought, you know, I'm giving you this rose, I'll take whatever. And so I just didn't like sending roses.
What
I thought
did they say?
I remember it was a guy who started the conversation. At the time it was the roses were new and I was just like, oh, I ran out of likes. Like, I'll send a rose. I don't even know if they were in the standout or whatever. And he said, like, oh, hi. And, like, I had a picture. I was right after I bought a house, and it was a picture of me standing in front of the house. I had, like, sunglasses on.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, you just need some better pictures because I can't really see what you look like. And, like, I was just, like, the first pic, I was standing in front of the house because, like, I was proud of it. I had one prompt in there where it was, like, would love to learn, like, what DIY projects are you working on? Because, like, it did start conversations and stuff, but it was just, like, here's something I'm proud of. Like, so I know my body looked really good in that picture. Like, I just had sunglasses on.
Right.
But it was just kind of like, no one else starts a conversation with like, you have bad pictures. And I think it was just like, they thought I was like, you're gracing me with your presence. So I just never liked to send roses after that. And then that person would show up in the regular queue Like they were fine, but I was like, ugh. But I really think that the, that thing's a gimmick, just like I think the most compatible is kind of a gimmick.
Quick debrief, just for people that don't understand. So on Hinge, the dating app, I'm also explaining this because our mom is visiting and she's in the other room listening, and I just want to make sure we're clear. So sending someone a rose is like an extra feature, right?
Yeah,
so you have Hinge, you swipe right, you swipe left.
Yeah.
But then they added this feature where it's like, oh, you can send a rose to stand out, and I think you get one free one a day.
You get a free one a week. When they just released it, I was just like, oh, I got this rose.
And sometimes you send it by accident. Yeah. Like, sometimes, so it's just kind of
It's like it's like a dollar of $5 for one of these. I'm like,
You can actually pay for more to use them, whatever.
And that's separate from Hinge Plus.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think that they're super effective. Whenever I would receive a rose, I'm like, I didn't even look. Next, well, don't care.
That's a whole other, the rose thing is a whole other.
Right, but so now they have the most compatible feature.
Yes, they've had this for a while. I think it's kind of stayed the same. My personal take on it, like, just like how you would see, like, the standouts and stuff, like, I really think only one person, you can only be matched with one person a day and they can't repeat. You've got a whole city full of people. Everyone's got to match with one person. If you don't have a big enough city, like, you're going to be paired with someone eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's just, you know, maybe, like, the first few times, like, maybe it'll be right sometimes. I really think, like, at some point, like, it's going to be random. Or it's, mm-hmm. like, there's only so many people you can pair with. There's only people, so many people that compare with you. They've got to pair with someone. It's going to be different every day.
See, I disagree. Like, I disagree. I think, honestly, I think an algorithm, yeah, maybe sometimes here and there it's off. But you feel personally victimized because because it's a reality check.
I also think, too, like,
it's like, damn, shit. I never
was angry by it. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, I feel like I remember there just being diversity. Like, I was like, some days I was like, oh, this person's cute. I actually remember I'd gotten out of a relationship and, like, 2 days into, like, being, like, on Hinge, like, he popped up as my most compatible. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Interesting.
But, like, I've seen people, like, people have done, like, TikToks where it's, like, their brother pops up as their most compatible and they're like, really?
Yeah.
I also, I remember, like, one of my prompts at one point was, like, I think the Myers-Briggs is stupid. Like, I don't care if you're, like,
INFJ.
I literally put the Myers-Briggs is not real as my thing. And what happened? I started getting people that were putting their Myers-Briggs into their Hinge.
It's just the mention of Myers-Briggs.
So it's like mention of it. But I was like, it was people where I was literally like, the Myers-Briggs is stupid. And then people were popping up where it's like, what do you want to, like, what question? Like, what's your Myers-Briggs personality? So I'm like, literally bringing me the opposite of what I'm looking for.
Have you ever seen, God, I think I watched this in high school, but there, like, it must have been years and years ago. There was, like, a social experiment video. I'm sure they've done variations on this throughout the years. But it's basically, like, 10 men and 10 women, and you put them in a room, and without speaking, they try to pair themselves up by attractiveness, pretty much.
I've seen the ones that, like, I've seen the Jubilee videos where it's like people.
Jubilee is insane. This was, like, more, it was definitely more experimental, and it was kind of like, yeah, 10, 15 men, 10, 15 women. Match yourselves. And so it was basically like they would walk up and hold their hand out.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the other person agreed, they would shake their hand and then they'd be paired off. But a lot of people would walk up and hold their hand out. And then the other person would be like, you got me fucked up, and go to the next person.
Damn.
And it's hurtful. Uh-huh. But I'm sure going into it, they're like, okay, you have to bear in mind this is going to hurt your feelings. But by the end, they pretty much, it was pretty... Yeah. You know, it was the algorithm. It was the algorithm working in real time.
Yeah. And, like,
hate to say it.
I also think Hinge also has an incentive to fuck with people. I've said this before, but, like, if you give someone, like, yeah, like, maybe every now and then you want to be right, but every now and then, what if you gave someone a person that maybe you know that they wouldn't like?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a person that doesn't get a lot of likes, and they get that, and, like, oh my God, the ego, like, oh my God, I'm so offended. What's a person going to do if they see a person pop into their most compatible that they think is beneath them?
Yep.
They're going to go update their profile and make it better and more attractive.
Bring something up. Have you seen this? Came up on TikTok recently. It was a guy who is trying to organize, like, live speed dating, kind of all the rage right now, like live dating shows, speed dating shows or events or whatever. And he was talking about how they have to beg, cajole, borderline pay men to show up to this because women will show up no problem. They love it. But men are like, I don't think it's that like significantly less men are on Hinge because I think the virtual world, it's a little different. You can accept rejection a little differently, but most men are like, why the fuck am I going to go to a live dating show so I can look someone in the eyes and just get rejected by them over and over and over again? Because that's, like, ultimately, like, you know, Hinge, it's like, women get right swipes all the time. Men get right swipes very rarely.
Yeah. I also think, too, it's like, at the end of the day, women love dating as entertainment, and there's still that sort of backup plan in your mind of like, you know, if nothing happens here, it'll be fun.
And they're like, not going like to have the same level of rejection.
I'll date for a story or something. Yeah. And like men, when they get together, it's not like, oh, like we're going to go and talk about our bad dates. Like that's like, if they genuinely need advice, they'll call one trusted friend. But like, they're all that's in there is like, you know, I'm here to meet a woman or like maybe be someone else's entertainment. Like, fuck that. Like I would so be so out.
That's so true. Women do it for the plot. Women date for the plot a lot of times.
Oh my God. And it's not a good thing to do.
You don't like that?
Well, I think it's fun. It's funny in theory, but like, it's not a good thing to do for yourself. It's not a good thing to do to another person. It makes a good TV plot.
Yeah.
Maybe that should stay on TV for people who sign up for the TV stuff. But like, I don't know.
How do you feel about, I mean, I think I know how you feel about it, but how do you feel about like TikTokers, YouTubers who are like, I'm going to go on a date and then I'm going to talk. Honestly, a lot of these women are on Hinge. And so like, you can put on your Hinge that like, oh yeah, you can put your Instagram, it links. Oh, this person has like a million followers. They're a famous person on YouTube. They do dating.
I think guys are terrified of that. And I think like almost to the point where it's like, they're so afraid, like unnecessarily afraid of it. But like, it's
like a woman going online and talking about their
like,
date.
If you were to ask a guy, like I've seen a man on the street interviews, like, what's your biggest turnoff? Like, was going to talk about the date on, or dating is an influencer who's going to talk about. And so I don't love it. Well, I also just think I think people, like, I don't think there's as many, like, liars. Like, I think that when you have a third person as part of your dating life or a third entity in the form of an audience, like, it's going to change how you date. And, like, you're going to retell these stories that people are going to consume as entertainment. Like, these aren't people who love you with your best interest in mind. Like, they're going to encourage you to do things that make a good story. Like, they don't, like, if you fall and, like, break your teeth, like, they don't care about you. Like, that might be something they want because it's entertaining. Like, and so I think it's not healthy. Like, for me personally, like, because when I fell into making silly little dating videos on accident. And like, it was kind of like, what do I do next from here? And one big thing for me, like, cause I was single at the time, I was like, I'm not making my personal life a part of this. Like, even people now are like, oh, like, do you have like videos from back when you were like dating and like, and stuff? I'm like, no, that was never what my content was. Like, it was more of just an ego thing. Like, it wasn't even like, you know, I care about so much. It was just like, I don't want people to see me fuck up. Like,
dude, I got called out the other day for talking about my ex on this podcast.
Oh yeah. Which is very weird because we do that kind of very anecdotally, or it's like, it's a story. Like, I don't even.
I might have talked some shit at the time because I think I was probably going through it. I can't remember what I said because I come on here and then I black out for an hour and then I leave.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I said.
Yeah.
So that's scary. But yeah, I did get called out for that. And I was like, who's listening?
Yeah.
Who's listening to me?
It's interesting. There's certain episodes where I know I've like alluded to past things where I'm like, this one has a big spike in listeners. And then I'll look at the cities. I'm like, there's someone out there who's like messing with this, which if you're getting this far, like you're a fan. Welcome. I'm sorry. Welcome.
Love you. Love you, Diva. Like, thank you for being here.
Yeah. Like, yeah, thank you, fans.
Oh, you're my fan.
But
you're watching.
Yeah, you're a fan. I'm sorry. But
sorry, you're my fan.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Where were we? Yeah, where were we going with that? Yeah, like
Hinge.
Men, yeah, most compatible.
Yeah, most compatible.
But yeah, like, I think.
So I think it's, hey, it's an expose, truly. If you're getting Hinge most compatible, hey. Maybe there's a little something to it, okay?
I just think it's such a gimmick. Like,
maybe take a look at yourself before you.
I really think it's such a gimmick. I think Hinge has no I think they every now and then they put someone out there to fuck with you, like no matter what you look like. I think it's like just to get people, like, they want to keep their app like alive and fun. Like, you know, maybe someone who's getting matches easily is getting lazy. Like, you know, oh my gosh, like, this is my most compatible. I better like update my pictures. I better have a more like not have a one word answer for my prompt.
You're so right.
So I think that, like,
maybe I better be more involved with my Hinge.
It's also, I think it also just depends on your location. Like, I think if I were single and dropped myself into Ventura, like, I would be everybody's most compatible over the course of a month and then run out of people. Like, I think that's just how it, like, is some places.
Oh, you're so right. It is a marketing scheme.
It's got, like, just like the roses.
They're always up to something, aren't
they? They're always up to, everyone always blames the other gender or other users. It's like, why not blame the fucking apps?
Yeah.
Fucking, ugh. Oh. Who stood up who? I would love your opinion on a weird, somewhat recent situation I had with a date that never actually happened. Story. I, female 31, matched with a man on Hinge. Conversation started off fun. Flirty quickly led us to planning a date for 2 days later. We matched on a Monday, scheduled date for a Wednesday on Tuesday afternoon. After the date was scheduled, we continued to match back and forth in the app. All communication was on the app. No one asked another for a phone number or social media ever. For me, this is pretty normal unless the guy asks me for my number. I'm not opposed to giving it. It's just not something I do proactively. Anyway, Wednesday morning came around. I was still messaging my date in the app, mostly talking about how excited we were for that evening. Drinks were at 6. We were getting off work at 5. The last message I sent was just after lunch. At around 2 to 3 p.m., I was talking to my work bestie about the date, and she asked if she could see his Hinge profile. But then, when I went to pull it up, it was gone. I searched all through my queue to see if he might have updated his profile and I didn't realize it, or otherwise it's ended up hidden for some reason, but I could not find it anywhere. I realized I'd been unmatched. Because our only line of communication had been deleted, I interpreted my date's unmatched to also be a cancellation of the date set to take place a few hours later. We definitely weren't talking about anything controversial. I don't think I said anything that could have been perceived as a red flag. I think my last message might have been something like LOL, but change of hearts do happen, and I figured that was the case. However, my work bestie perceived the unmatch differently. She mentioned many dating app users unmatch once a date is confirmed as a way to keep their queue clean, so it's reserved for people they had yet to schedule or meet. I'm aware that people do that, but usually those people get phone numbers or have some other way to contact their date at that point. Also, the timing seems weird. If he were an unmatch after scheduling guy, why not do that right after we scheduled? If it's more about meeting, why not unmatch once we would met at the person once we had met in person at the bar? I've always sent quick updates while en route to the date, like leaving now or things like that. My work bestie's take is maybe he thought the conversation was done and you wouldn't check the app before the date, but I don't know that I agree. No. Anyway. To make a long story short, I took the unmatch as a cancellation and did not show up for the date, which my work bestie called standing him up, which is weird considering that I felt like the one who was stood up. I know it's possible my work bestie was right, but the drive to the place we were meeting was 20 minutes in the direction opposite where I live without traffic, and I also didn't want to risk being stood up at the bar girl. I never heard from my date after the fact. Of course, he'd unmatched, so the app wasn't available to do so, but if it was a true misunderstanding and he was interested, he could have found me pretty easily. What do you think? Did I stand this guy up, or was it the other way around?
It was the other way around. 100%. 1,000%. He unmatched because he was like, if I don't look at it, then it doesn't exist. If I'm not directly paying attention to the fact that I'm, like, hurting someone and wasting their time, then I'm not. Then it's your fault you didn't interpret it fast enough. Honestly, there's probably someone else. He went on a date with someone else.
I mean, like, he unmatched, like, they were talking until 2 or 3 p.m. that day, and the date was at 6. She's at work. She's going to the date after work. That's why she says that the timing is weird.
Timing's weird. No, girl, you did the right thing. He would not have shown up, I think. I definitely think he wouldn't have showed
up. I think,
up.
Like, it wasn't, like, if he showed up, like, that, but I think it's, like, if he showed up and this was his way of just being, like, oh, like, you know, I just unmatch everyone. There are some people that are like that. I don't understand that behavior, but that's just me, and, like, maybe that's why I'm, like, if that was his intention, like, you know, it's on him if he's, like, what the fuck? She didn't show up.
It's on him. Hey, why don't you open your Hinge and try to get a hold of her? Oh, wait.
Yeah. I've never understood that behavior. Yeah, but, no. Like, I don't think, like, I think... If someone does that, it's like, I think it's safe to assume, like, it's safe to assume that maybe that is a wrong assumption, but it's on them for kind of picking a weird way of going about.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, using how they're going about using their dating apps. Like, it always gave me, even when, you know, I got a phone number, like, they were kind of, when someone would delete or, like, unmatch before a date or, like, after they got a number, I didn't like that kind of behavior. Like, to me, it just felt like someone was being a little too organized, like with dating. And like when you're being a little too organized or being methodical, like you're viewing your dating life as just like, I've got this many people and this many things. And like, you've got a system. Like, it just reminds, it makes me think of the dentist system in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Dentist system. Yeah. I think something like that, where it's like, ooh, at the last minute, it's, they're not showing up. I don't think he was going to show up. I think, and if they had been talking up until a certain point, right, depending on when that was, I think it's either there's someone else or there's a sudden financial problem, and it is way easier to delete the whole thing and pretend it doesn't exist, I don't see it, than to be like, hey, I can't afford a date.
It would be like it's more about them than about, and it sounds like this woman's like not offended. Like, she's kind of like, they probably had a change of heart. Like, I went home, and like, it doesn't sound sure like she's not like, what's wrong with me? Like, because sometimes people do like think that way. And I think it's like, it's a more about them than her, like someone else. Or like weird change of heart things do happen. Like, I also feel like that happens with people, like, silly, but like people in their 30s, like people just kind of like get, people do weird shit on the date.
Well, and also it's like, he unmatched you. Guess what, girl? You're going to match again. You're going to match again. You're going to see him on there again, and you can ask, hey, what the hell happened? If he unmatched you, he's coming back. He's coming back around. That's how Hinge works.
They always have a way. Yeah, they have a way.
That's how Hinge works. Yeah.
But yeah, I think if you're going to be the unmatch before you meet type, like, I think you have to exchange phone numbers. And I think you have to be prepared for like, you have to be prepared, I feel like, prepared to answer to that, or like, why, like, answer to why, because I, like, personally, like, I have, would be, I remember, like, I would have some situations like that where I'd be like, okay, cool. And like, me personally, like, I think of like my best friend's wedding website, something that was on it within the Our Story page is like the screenshots of the Tinder messages from when they met. And I think it's really cute. It's kind of cute. And you see that on like wedding websites, or like you put it as a memento.
Yeah, but then you have to admit that you met on Tinder at your wedding.
But that happens so much nowadays. But like, you liked it, those first initial communications or something. And like, when you unmatch somebody, you lose that. Like, I don't know.
I wouldn't admit it personally.
Well, a lot of people do. But like, I think even if you don't admit it, like the idea that like, if something happened here, you just deleted like your meet cute. I don't know. Like, that alone to me is like,
yeah,
it's kind of like, okay, cool. Like, it just, it feels very like methodical. Like, it just, I don't know. Like, I never liked it, because it would be, it would also felt like someone was planning an exit before they even met you. It's like, this person has an exit strategy plan. Like, because it's like, oh, they're not, you know, they want a way to be out. Like, you know, people
talk
about, people talk about how like, you've been dating someone, you keep your dating apps, like whether you're actively using them or not. And then you go back and like, I'm just going to check. And it's like, oh, they updated their pictures. And then you go and like, what do you mean you updated your pictures? I thought we had something going here. You see that they've updated their location.
Have we talked about that on here? Where like, you meet someone on Hinge, you're dating, you've been dating or seeing each other, whatever, let's say for like a month or two. And then you go back on Hinge to go, you scroll all the way back to look at that connection and when you first started messaging, and you realize, oh, they updated their photos in the last 2 months or in the last 2 weeks or whatever. And you can see like the updated, like they'll update their answers. You know, there's random questions about like, what's the best place to blah, blah, blah. And you can see they'll like change their answers or whatever to like update their profile. And it's like, bitch, what the what are you doing?
Well, it's because it's just like, and people sometimes will unmatch because they want to just avoid, solve a problem before it starts. Like, you don't need to be looking, you don't need to be spying on me, blah, blah, blah. And it just feels like someone who's just being a little too organized. Like, where it's just like, oh yeah, my dating apps are for people that I haven't met yet. And once I've met you, like, you're gone.
That definitely
there.
Feels shady to me. That feels like this is a game to you.
Yeah. But I've met women who are like that, who it's an organization thing. And they're just like, yeah, you know, it's what I do. But they're also the people, I'm someone who has how many emails? I actually only have 7,419 unread emails. I know that I have more than that. I think something's unplugged. I have 375 unlistened to voicemails.
You want to know how many emails I have?
So people that are not like me.
55,700 unread emails.
I had 200,000. I don't know what happened to a bunch of them. I got a new phone.
I'm not.
There's some people who just, they hate seeing the red button. Like, oh, I got a new text. Like, they don't like to see that. And like, those people exist. But I also think, like, those people really need to consider.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My messages, optics. My unread and messages. And also, like, 595, yeah. By the way. So, Jesus. Yeah, I'm not deleting shit.
Exactly.
It's sitting there until it rots, for
that's,
sure.
That's and how I am.
Same with Hinge. No,
well, I'm also just like, if I open this, then it's just, I need the thing to tell me to come back later, and then I just don't come back later. It's just ADHD for you.
Mailbag. Is a musician a turnoff? Note, I'm a straight male, but also want to pose question on a general level. Is seeing musician as someone's profession on a dating app a turnoff? I ask because I'm aware the stereotype suggests an unstable source of income and not a real career, which is legally, which is largely true. However, I am financially stable, own my own house, nearly paid off the mortgage, all while being a full-time musician. Is that a weird thing to put on a dating profile? I don't get any intrusive questions by matches prior to dates, but also I don't get a ton of matches altogether, so I wonder if musician could be holding me back. Thoughts? I mean, how the hell does anyone know if you're a good musician, you know? It's the same thing as an artist.
Actor, artist. Like, I think any creative artist is going to have this.
Any creative field, because it's like, is this just kind of your shitty hobby? Or is this, are you good at it enough?
Yeah, or it's like, are you, like, doing well with it? Or is it like, you know, I'm the starving artist stereotype and, like, you know, are you delusional about this dream? Like, even if someone has, like, whatever, like, corporate job or something, they're good at it or not, it's like, okay, cool. Like, you did something, like, you passed an interview or something. Mm-hmm. Like, anyone can call themselves a musician.
Yeah. I think you'll appeal, first and foremost, to other musicians. Musicians will be like, oh, okay. This is a personal experience, because when I see a tattoo artist on mm-hmm. Hinge, I'll be like, oh, a tattoo artist. I'm going to go look at their work and see if mm-hmm. they're good mm-hmm. at this. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not going to date a shitty tattoo artist. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure musicians feel the same way, where they're like, I'm a musician, but I'm not just gonna date anyone. I'm gonna listen to their artwork and mm-hmm. see if they're good enough to be with me.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is a person that's like, I'm a creative and want to date other creatives, or if, like, some people, like, some creatives rule that out because they're just like, I just want someone who's like in a normal job. Like, you know, it's just too many. Like, it's like putting the positive sides of the battery together. Like, I want to be away from creatives. I will say, like, as somebody who has a corporate job, who has always been in the corporate world, who has dabbled in acting. Mm-hmm. I did not have the same respect for someone who would put a career as an actor or any other creative until I really tried it myself. Like, I remember I would be on Hinge and stuff, and I would, like, kind of see, like, some actor profiles pop up, and I'd just be like, well, you know, like, you're a pretty person who showed up, and, like, some privilege got you here. And then now I'm like, oh my God, this is hard. Or just kind of like, you're what kind of actor? And I'm like, oh, this is hard work. Or also just like, I had no idea this type of actor existed.
Yeah, you,
like,
have some different level of respect.
Understanding, like, oh, okay, like, someone who's like a commercial actor who has, you know, who's doing infomercials and stuff, uh-huh. like, that's a career. Like, that's, and you can do very well with it. And, like,
do you think it's different between men and women?
I think it's tough because I think there's a certain type of person. And this might be a whole other loaded question, but there's also, like, a networking type dater, I think, out there that, like, doesn't necessarily consider genders. And I think that maybe applies, like, to creatives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess to tell a story, like, I've never had someone, like, I know someone who went on a date with someone and that person, like, brought their resume with them because they were, it was when I lived in Santa Barbara. I worked for a company called Procore. It was like the big employer in the area, construction software, like, everyone wanted to work there. I got very lucky in a sense that I got there very early. I'm not that great. But it became, like, probably in about 2017, 2018, like, mm-hmm. people really wanted to work there. It was very competitive.
Yes.
And I knew someone who went on a date with a guy who, like, brought their resume.
A man would bring his resume.
She was,
a man,
like, a
would do
that. Coordinator. But, like,
would a woman do that? No. A woman would not bring her resume to a date. Ain't no way.
It was, you know, like, yeah, like, so someone did that. I have had experiences where I've gone on dates, and this was Procore, like, other, like, tech companies I worked at, where the guy would say, and I think I actually don't mind someone saying something like this. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, you're finding positives anywhere. But they're like, uh-huh. oh yeah, you know, like, if, you know, there was no connection here, like, I've always thought your company was cool. And it's just cool to meet other people that work in tech, because they would be like in tech sales or, like,
it's vague
RevOps, something
sure.
like that. But it's like, I could respect that. It's like you're trying to find get something out of the date. If things don't work out, you can say like to yourself, like,
yeah, oh, you know, like, though,
and you know, they worked at this company. It was cool to learn more about it. Like, sure. I can respect that. But like, I think maybe this is more like actors. I don't know if this is a thing for artists, but people being like, oh, you do what? Or like if they see a recognizable person. I feel
like it's just so funny. Like a man would be like, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring my resume to this so I can see if I can get a job. That'll be great. That'll go over.
I think he paid for the day. He's like,
oh my God. So annoying. Yeah, I'm sure. But when it comes to like, yeah, artists, this is my opinion. Okay. And I say this opinion all the time at work. Female tattoo artists don't get hit on. I don't, personally. And, of course, like, male tattoo, yes, you do. I bet you get hit on all the time. Somebody told me this the other day. I bet you get hit on all the time. No, I don't. I don't. I tattoo mostly women, honestly. And, no, the men that I tattoo are very respectful. They don't hit on me. But I have been privy to this. Not only have I heard stories, but I have seen, heard, witnessed any male coworker gets hit on so crazy by women.
Are they female tattooers, or are they like a fetishize women?
Well, I think generally, I wouldn't say fetishize. Yeah, they fetishize the profession, I would say. But I think generally women love like an artist. They love a creative. They love a male artist because it adds a huge layer of sensitivity and depth and like understanding. Ostensibly. Like, you know.
Are they right in thinking that male artists are more sensitive?
No.
They're still men.
Short answer, no.
They're still men.
Tell you that much, no fucking way. But I get it because I am attracted to like a creative man. Mm-hmm. Super attracted to it. It makes a man so much more attractive when it's like, oh, you can do something with your hands and your brain. Your hands and your mind.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's huge. Whereas men don't really care. And I've asked a lot of like male tattooers this question. Let's say, yeah, you match with a girl on Hinge. She's a tattooer. Do you care how good her work is? Does it make any difference to you how good her work is? Because there are plenty of male tattooers who will be like, I would love to date another tattooer, another artist, just so we have that in common. And I ask, like, does it matter how good she is? They never say yes. They always say no, just as long as she cares about something, just as long as she's passionate about something. What the fuck? I care if they're a shitty artist. Of course you're gonna look if they're a shitty artist.
Yeah. That's I also think off. There's people that say things, because I always think like the whole like guys don't care about stuff. It's like how things go in theory aren't always how things go in practice. Like I think it's also like, I think when guys say that, like every single guy has been, you know, 21, just getting to a bar and they try to approach a girl and then she goes, what do you do? And he says, I'm an entry level. I'm still a student. And then the girl turns up their nose. And so guys say because that happens to them and it sucks. Anytime a woman's like, well, I have this career, we don't care. Like, you guys care, we don't care. And it's meant to be like,
I can't afford to be picky is basically what you're saying.
Well, no, it's meant to be like, It's shitty when someone judges me for like my job. I'm never gonna do it to a woman, and it's meant to be kind. But to women who work hard, it always comes off as like,
oh, that is so. You interesting.
You shouldn't focus on your job. Like, just focus on being hot.
Yeah, because
like,
that shit pisses me off. Honestly, it's annoying, when
but
I
like,
hear it.
And there's weird podcast dudes who say otherwise. But like, when I've talked to normal guys, and like I asked like another male dating podcast,
I don't
podcast,
like to be
judged,
very
nice.
So I try not
where
to
they're
be.
Just like, it comes from a place of kindness. Where it's like, I don't like to. Every guy has had this experience. Sucks. Like, it's us getting ahead of being like anytime a woman's like, well, I have this job, it's like, we'd never judge you that way. Or it's like, it's meant to be a kind thing, where it's like, if everything went to shit tomorrow and you had to go work at a McDonald's, I would love you all the same. That's what it's supposed to mean from most men.
You think so?
That.
You believe that?
That for, I don't know about like the alpha bro podcaster types, but the nice, like genuine normal people, that is what they mean, because it's like, you know, like, I think they also see in their head, like, if I lost my job tomorrow, like, a woman would leave me right away, which I don't think that's the case.
You got a
relationship, like, I, like,
no,
no one's walking,
no,
like, people
no,
get
no.
fired all the time. Yeah. It happens. But, like, So I think that's what that's supposed to mean. But like at the end of the day, it's like doctors always marry other doctors. Like show me a CEO who's married to a Burger King cashier.
Yeah, that's true.
It just doesn't happen. And like, yes, that's like true. A man might not be attracted to a title, whatever, but it's like there's trickle down economics to that, pun intended, yeah. Where like, yeah, like, you know, oh, I would love you all the same if you're just a Burger King cashier. But like if you're a Burger King cashier, like you and you if you're like an engineer, like and your dating guy's like, oh, I'd love you if you're a McDonald's server, whatever. It's like, you wouldn't be the same person. You wouldn't have it's run the gauntlet. It's meant to be
like, I don't judge you that hard or something.
Yeah, but it's like at the end of the day, it's like, you wouldn't be the same person. Like, you wouldn't have gone through all the tests and the school and stuff like that. Like, you wouldn't have the same drive. Like, so it's just, I think it's very much like a hypothetical where it's like, you know, I think if there's a really terrible tattoo artist with a bad work ethic, like, no matter how attracted to her you are, you might be like, dude, what are you doing to the profession?
See, because that's really what it comes down to me for is like how a man can look at, you know, a range of women with a range of talent and truly, genuinely, it does not matter what they're producing. It only matters how they look. Because it's hurt. It's painful to me because I know how hard I work. It's a work ethic thing.
I think there's also some, like I said, trickle down economic, maybe that's not the right word for it, but there's like correlation causation with that. Like women and looks and like quality of art is not the only two qualities. Like a woman who has good quality art generally is going to put more time and more passion into things and be more excited about it, be more self-aware.
Yeah.
Like in general about things. Like if you've got someone who's a bad artist and either it's like, cause they're lazy, they're delusional, something like that. Like, those traits are going to pop up elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like, or they're like, they're silver spoon kids. Someone gave them the job. Like, they're not actually talented. Mm-hmm. Like, so those things don't live in like a vacuum, I would say. Like a talented artist, like there's all these other things that get you there. Hard work, practice.
Yeah.
You know, like discipline.
Creativity. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think there's a gift involved there. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be with an artist who's way, way behind me as far as skill level.
But it would also come with the other parts of it, too. Like, it's, you know, if there was someone who's bad and they, like, insist they're good, it's kind of like, why are you not self-aware? Like, how you just, someone just gave you this job that you didn't work for. Or like, you know, like, it's...
Well, and this is kind of a hot topic right now. I mean, whatever, I'm going to speak on it. So something that happens with tattoo artists, or I'm sure artists in general, and something that's really come up a lot in the last few days, is you'll have a male tattoo artist who's established, been doing it for years, and he'll start dating like a younger woman who's getting into tattooing or who's only been doing it for a couple of years. Just skill-wise, experience-wise, she's behind him. But they start dating, and then it very quickly becomes like a power play. It becomes that man is getting anxious that she's gonna catch up, and he needs to like keep her behind him. And it becomes, I don't know, it just gets so toxic. It like almost doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. I think like just no one should ever date anyone that they could potentially see as like
a mentee. Like they want someone behind them. They want someone that like does the same thing that they do but
is not as good.
It can be controlled. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's come up a lot just in local news. people are getting called out a lot actually right now. Not just the one that we talked about. There's another one that's going around where, they're talking about like these male tattooers who have victimized female tattooers. Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
It's like a Grey's Anatomy episode in the tattoo world, I swear.
But yeah, it comes up. I mean, they're artists. Like, everybody's emotional. Everybody's unhinged. You're working at a shop down two blocks away from another shop where your ex works. Girl, tell me about it. That's Austin.
Yes.
That's Austin. That's how that works.
Exactly. So is musician a turnoff to put in a bio? Sorry to this listener.
Sorry.
Okay. I think being more specific and pictures speak... pictures are worth a thousand words. Like, I think if there's any, instead of musician, like, I don't know if like it's like a commercial musician, like that gets paid very well and like regular. If it's like, you know, musician, like I don't know if you have a recognizable band name if you are famous.
Yeah, see, that's kind of where I'm at is like, if it says musician as your career, my first thought would be like, oh, I wonder if this guy's famous and go look him up. And if, you know, you're making a career out of it, but you're not famous, I would
probably no, I'm actually going to disagree with that. Okay. Plenty of actors, plenty of musicians are not famous because commercial work is a fantastic way to get into either of those fields. And like some of the like very high paid actors, like you will never see them in anything because they do training videos. Musicians, like people that do jingles for commercials and stuff like that, like, obviously, probably the first choice is to be a rock star. Like, you've, I don't know if you've seen any of the, like, I forget, the movie Juno, that's a whole other can of worms. The husband is a, he does jingles, like, wants to be a rock star, but, like, people that are good musicians who need to make a living off of it kind of pivot into things like that. So I think having, if you have a, you know, not just musician, but if it's, like, commercial musician, voice, like, voice over actor, like just being a little more specific. If there's a picture that shows you doing what you're doing, like just like everyone loves a picture of a doctor in their coat, you know, a musician doing their thing, that I think that'd be a way to do it. So it just kind of shows like whether it's like it, I think either way, just like showing you doing something in action is good.
If you're an artist, have an example, have two examples.
Yes.
If you believe in your work, if you're good at it, put an example in there.
Exactly. But that would be my take. I think like it's also just people on the outside aren't going to understand your career. Just like anyone outside of career doesn't understand it. Like people have,
I guess, dumb, I would say
ignorant like, question for any career.
If you're a man and you have an artistic career, provide examples because women
or women, I think it's a good way to show personality.
Yeah, sure, but I think women like they're not going to see musician. Oh, I love a musician and swipe right. They're not going to be like, I love an artist and swipe right. They want to see if you're a real musician or a real artist.
Yeah.
I think women generally want that information.
I think personally a dating app profile, your six pictures, it should be like Barbie. And I, but that sounds funny, but like, you know, Barbie at work, Barbie at
Doctor
night out.
Dr. Barbie.
Night out Barbie.
Horse riding
night
Barbie.
In Barbie. Yeah. Hobby Barbie. Like, just not all the same thing. And, like, one of those things should be, like, I think there's action shots are a good thing. Like, you doing your career, whatever that looks like. You know, doctor getting your white coat, nurse in your scrubs, like, doing something. Like, just something like that makes a good one of your photos. And I think you should do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think this has been a good episode. Any last words?
No, but go listen to Art of Hating once that drops.
And we'll put out a big announcement when it does.
Definitely.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Ciao, girls.